You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Bored now.
And also guesting with us is Robbie.
Hello, guys.
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Check out our social media after the show. We have Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
And of course, check out the website at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com and sign up. You can be a member now.
Woo.
There's many things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please come join. All right. What episode is that from?
Bored now.
This season.
That's one of the later ones.
Yeah.
Like, the later ones. Okay. Sorry.
But it's like an iconic moment.
It is.
When Willow was bad.
It was 21. I think 21.
Like that could be the second to last. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
love it how they brought it back.
When you did it, I'm like, was that Glory? I'm like, wait, no, that was Willow.
No, that's Willow.
Willow.
Yeah.
So we are in season 6 of Buffy. We only have 2 more seasons left, which is sad day because we love the Buffy universe. But it's fine because then we're going to go into Angel, which is like a spinoff of Buffy.
You guys excited?
I'm excited for that one. I'm very excited for Angel.
Huh? You excited about the reboot?
What reboot?
Oh, the Buffy reboot. I haven't heard much about it, but I'm sure it's going to be good. I haven't been following much.
Honestly, I don't even want to try to think about it until they actually, like, give me the cast and I see the first episode.
They've already
ruined Harry Potter. Like, all the drama with the Harry Potter crap has already ruined me watching it, so I don't want to ruin Buffy.
It's not Buffy. It's a new Slayer.
Yeah. Well, they already cast the Slayer. But
I don't want to know.
She's the one now.
Okay.
Well, she's very excited about it. Sarah Michelle Gellar is very excited about it. She seems very positive.
She does seem excited, though.
Yeah. I have heard that, but yeah. I'm just sick. I'm sick of hearing about reboots and getting excited, and then they come around or something happens, and I'm like, ugh.
Anyways, I personally don't care about reboots or sequels, so.
No, I agree.
Of any kind. I'm over it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Well, I just saw a reel this morning. I don't know if it's fan-made or real, but apparently there's something about a second movie for Princess Bride.
What?
Well, they're making a new Spaceballs, too, so it makes sense.
I saw that, too.
Yeah. It's only been 40 years. Come on. Whatever. It's fine. It's like
Anywho,
a thing now.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 6. They are elated with having Buffy back from the dead. How'd we do that? Anyways, her friends never wonder if she may have been in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not think of these things, people? That is my biggest question with this season. I'm like, why would
There is a logic to it. I thought about it when,
we'll debate that logic in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Only Spike knows the truth. And as Buffy struggles to readjust to life, she begins a relationship with Spike that torments her as much as it brings her fleeting comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yet even as Buffy fears that the magic that brought her back has somehow changed her, Willow's growing reliance on magic is an addiction she can barely control and one that threatens everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun. Of course, we have our main cast. Sarah Michelle Gellar as Buffy. Nicholas as Xander. Michelle as Dawn. James as Spike. Allison as Willow. Emma as Anya. And Amber as Tara. All of them are in every single episode except for Anya's apparently not in one. She's in 21 of them. And Tara, sadly, is only in 17.
You know.
And we'll get to that why later.
I think they did a lot more with Tara in this season.
They did.
No, they did. Absolutely.
I love Tara.
Much better.
She is honestly one of the best characters on the show.
Is this where they're locked in the house?
Yeah.
This one. And yes. Because of Dawn's wish, she's like, oh, you still have that cramp in your. Because Sarah was like. Came out and said, I was sleeping with him.
I did enjoy Tara and the sarcasm. Yep.
That was funny. Mm-hmm. Her face too when she like found out about it, and then she like messes with Spike. I'm like, that would be me. I would be that friend messing with him. Of course, we have some reoccurring cast. Tom Lenk as Andrew. Now, this is the first season with Andrew, right? Because I don't remember Flying Monkeys or anything.
No, I think they just tried to retcon him into the.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I just wanted to verify.
Was he actually in an episode, though? Because
I don't
actually think so either.
I think I read that they wanted a different actor to come back, and that person wasn't available or something, so they just slid him in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think is what I read somewhere, yeah.
Okay. Danny Strong came back as Jonathan. Adam Bush came back as Warren. Anthony Stewart Head is still Giles. Again, he's only in 8 episodes. Can we talk about him leaving this season?
Why did Giles leave?
Can that be one of our topics that we get to?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Not at this moment. Yeah. Okay, good, because I have feelings. James C. Leary is Clem, who we just talked about in the last season. Let's see here. Who else is important to come to bring up? Amelia Embry as Katrina. I don't know any of these other names. We're just going to move on.
Okay.
So the big bad in this episode, in this season, the big bad, they're not even big bad.
They're annoying.
They're really tiny, tiny bad.
Stupid.
Is the trio.
I hate the trio. Can I just say it? I hate the trio.
Too. They're annoying.
I hate them. They're awful people. They're incels. That's what they are. They didn't have a name for it back then, but that's what, by today's standards, that's what they would be called.
What?
Who was?
Incels.
Incels?
You don't know what an incel incels. Is?
I don't know what an incel is either.
Do you watch the news?
What
really?
Is it?
No, I don't watch the news.
Incels?
Wow.
They're like terrorists?
In a sense.
Yeah.
Like a homegrown terrorist, right?
Right.
No, I mean,
a sleeper cell in the United States.
No.
Well,
okay.
No,
that's a bit more intense than what the...
What did you say it was? Incels? Incels.
I-N-C-E... That this
is INCEL?
What's the definition?
A member of an online community of young men who consider themselves unable to attract women sexually, typically associated with views that are hostile towards women and men who are sexually active.
Well, are they really sexually active? The only one was Warren.
No. They're unable to attract women sexually. They're hostile towards men and women who are sexually active.
Okay.
Basically, instead of improving themselves, they blame everyone else for their own failures.
Yeah. And it's pathetic. Okay.
Never heard that term, but I agree with that
term. You and I are on the same page.
We
are.
And
I've been around for a while.
Okay.
I have more internet lore than other people. I'm surprised.
With the interview with Doug Jones, you were like, oh, you were in a fan film.
That is true.
Out of left field.
That is true.
That is great. You were like, oh, yeah. And did you remember that? He was like super surprised you even pulled
that. Yeah, he was surprised. He was. He was like, wow, good catch. I was like, thank you. I wasn't even trying.
There you go. I'm just
here.
But anyways, they're tiny, tiny bad. Honestly, they're just like something under a boot that I really wish she would have just squashed at the beginning of the season.
Because
They are just they're more annoying than anything. They're not really like terrorizers. They're just annoying.
Yes.
Warren, though, is horrible. Honestly,
I hate Warren.
Warren's really the worst. Like,
I'm okay with what happened to Warren, but that might just be my sadistic side.
Oh.
No, I'm with you. He was.
You're with me? Okay.
He literally killed women who rejected him.
He deserved it.
Like,
yeah.
He kind of deserved it. The other two were bad, but they were really just lackeys. Warren was kind of
like. I don't like Jonathan. I was kind of sad he turned to evil side.
After Buffy helping him.
Jonathan did. He had potential.
Yeah,
he had potential.
Jonathan just goes along, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what.
Well, he really wasn't a true sheep. Andrew was the true sheep.
He was.
Andrew was something else. Yeah.
And then
Andrew was, anyways. So that's the tiny, tiny bad. Mm-hmm. But the tiny, tiny bad spawned the big bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Dark Willow.
Oh, yeah.
That, she was the
and she was only here for two episodes, and it was bad. We'll get
she
to it.
She was so bad that two was enough to cover the entire season.
Yep.
Pretty much. Basically. Yeah.
Because that's really what we remember from season six. Just a lot of sad, the musical episode, and Dark Willow.
Yes. Fair.
Yes.
And more sad.
Yeah.
More sad is true. Yes.
Yep. Yep. And a lot of Buffy and Spike together. I remember
Buffy
that
and
part.
Spike. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the first
just
episode.
Just really angsty in this season.
And the Burger Palace.
Right?
Everyone's just. The whole. Everyone is just really angsty and just really just. In this whole season, like, they really drag out the just, it's not even sad, it's just like, I'm mad at you because you did this, and oh, well, you really did this, and it's like, oh my, I get that we need drama, but like, I don't know, it's maybe a little forced in my opinion, but
too much angst.
How much money you think Giles gave Buffy in this season?
A tremendous amount.
Oh, a lot.
Over $100,000.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we knew.
Oh yeah,
because we were debating.
He gave him old English money.
English money.
I mean, the Watchers are. If I remember the lore correctly, the Watchers are supposed to be from wealthy British families.
I would say they're like royalty, right?
Yeah,
like
they're like out, like from
they're like knights,
British
basically.
Royal families.
Remember when,
so Giles has money.
Yeah, Buffy got him reinstated and said, "You owe him back pay."
That's right.
So he got a paycheck from him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Well, and if he's from an old royal family, he already has money.
We
in the
already
bank.
Know this because he did nothing for the entirety of season four, except
this
hang around at home
and
sleep with that pretty lady that came to visit him.
Yeah. And this remember the Halloween episode when he has like the warlock hat on? No, come on. He's like, happy Halloween.
When he's opening the shop.
Right? Oh,
And the best part.
He doesn't even say anything. He just kind of stands there goofily.
Yeah, it's the way she just stares at him like, no. And then he finally just, okay.
Okay, fine. I thought it was cute, but whatever.
It's so funny.
Okay, anyways. First episode of this season is Bargaining Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy's friends try to cope with Buffy's death. And are left to defend Sunnydale without her. Meanwhile, a gang of marauding demons threaten to jeopardize their plan to bring the Slayer back from the dead. To complicate matters, Giles contemplates leaving Sunnydale to come to terms with the loss. These two episodes are difficult. Part one and part two are difficult for me.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Last one is season 6, 22, episode 22, in Grave. It's not in Grave. It's just Grave. In the second part of the sixth season finale, a magical friend helps the Scooby gang try to stop a sorceress, but the witch still has a few tricks up her sleeve, an unwilling assistant. Also, Spike's African sojourn comes to a climax.
Yep.
It's very vague. Anyways.
What?
You mean the thing that happens highest like, rating. That's like one episode?
Highest rating is Once More With Feeling, which is the musical episode, 9.7 out of 10. Honestly, like, one of my favorite Buffy episodes of all time.
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
100%.
So
very
good.
Well. So good.
So Robbie good. Doesn't care for
and
it.
Is it sad that I was attracted to the demon from his singing voice?
Well, he's like a Broadway. Is it just he's me? A Broadway star, so
I looked him up.
So not unreasonable. Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Second highest was
Tabula Rasa.
Rasa. Tabula Rasa. That was rated 9.1. I even looked up what it was before this, so I could remember what it was about, and now I forget. Tabula Rasa. Oh, this was where Willow accidentally erases all of their memories.
Oh, that was
actually good.
That was a fun episode.
That's a funny
especially episode. When Spike and Giles think they're like father and son, and Giles is married to Anya, and it's just funny. funny. Third highest is the first part of the second. Blah! Hold on. Is that even the right. It is the last episode.
I was going to say, isn't that the last
grave.
One?
Grave. I'm like, what did I do? I didn't change it to 22. Yeah. This is, I need to proofread my stuff.
Okay.
And then the lowest episodes, they are the same rating. And both of them are about the Double Meat Palace. Episode 12, Double Meat Palace. Episode 15, As You Were. Both of them take place at the palace. Mm. Rated 6.7. I think they should have been lower.
Yeah, I kind of zoned out.
Not like those episodes.
When Spike was like, you're not happy here. I can get you money. I think she should have taken that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
I think Spike would have just robbed a bank or something.
I mean, whatever he did. I mean, I wouldn't ask. I would just be like, sure.
I mean, realistically, sure. Do you put that against Spike? I mean, he's a vampire.
Yeah, he's amoral. That's what he does.
I mean, is that really the worst thing he could have ever done in his life? Stealing?
No.
Exactly. He's cool. He's cool with that.
Yeah. So some back behind the scenes. I don't know why it called production. This is a copy and paste. This was the first of two seasons in which Buffy was not aired on the WB. It was on UPN, which is United Paramount Network. Season six had a series of promotional clips in the advertisement for the season's debut and campaign for the season's move to UPN. So they did some things. Josh did state about this season, okay, Buffy comes back from the dead, so you have to deal with that in a big way. Season six was basically about, okay, we're grown-ups. We have no mentor. We have no mother. We have no parental figures. We're dealing with marriage and alcoholism and a really abusive relationship. We're dealing with someone who is practically suicidally depressed. It's weird, but people didn't respond to that so much. Also, the metaphor of sex has become very graphic and real. What were mystical demons have become three nerds with guns. Very real death, very mundane. The idea was to break down the mythical feeling of the show because there is a moment at childhood when you no longer get that. Everything isn't bigger than life, it's actual size, it's real loss. At the same time, there's the darker side of power and Buffy's guilt about her power and her feeling about coming back to the world. And her getting into a genuinely unhealthy relationship with Spike was all about dominance, control, and ultimately deep misogyny. How lost did we get? Well, our villain turned out to be Willow.
It was just too much.
That
too much all at once.
Wow.
Too much all at once, Joss.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dan's having a crisis right now.
Dan, you okay?
It's an epiphany, maybe, actually.
It's wow.
I mean, it makes sense of what, like, thinking about the season now, especially because I just finished it, and what he was doing was like, you're adults now, you can't just fantasize anymore.
You have to
anymore.
Deal with the real world at the end of the day, and that's really what Buffy's always been about, despite the fantastical escapism of, like, the supernatural and stuff like that. It's always been about growing up, so having to actually face that head on, that explains why this season was so uncomfortable.
So...
Yep.
My question to you is, do you think Willow should have brought her back from the dead?
No!
She had her reasons, and I believe in some way, partially, they were noble.
And what's that?
But I think she believed, or at least she convinced herself, because what I was saying, you know, I know, Ashley, you were thinking, why would Buffy go to a hell dimension, like, because she died nobly? If she had died nobly by natural causes, then yes, I would agree with you. But she died via mystical causes, which explains why they were able to bring her back, which they made a point in saying. They were like, if she had died naturally the way Tara was or the way Joyce was, then it's done. It's final. But the fact that magic was involved, then it's easier to kind of break that barrier. So it's not out of the question to think for Willow to think if magic was involved, she would get supernaturally taken to a dimension where people really don't like her and want her to suffer because she messed up the plans of evil and all that. Does that make any kind of sense, or am I just rambling?
No, it does.
Okay.
No, it does make sense.
It does. Yeah.
Now, that being said, I think unconsciously she did have selfish motives. Like, she wanted her friend back.
Right, absolutely.
Well,
Xander even said
she wanted
that.
Her friend back. Sunnydale was going back to hell.
Right.
Like, in their minds, Buffy was the only one who could fix all of it.
I mean, kind of true, because...
Oh, no, you're wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean, they were holding their own, but it literally took all of them to barely make one Buffy.
Yes. Yeah. But, and I get where you're coming, I get that side of, like, she could have been sent to the Hell Dimension because she went through a, like, she went through that portal right. to die. But I feel like you, I guess in my head when it comes to fantasy, if someone is going to sacrifice themselves and actually get stuck in the dimension that they're sacrificed in, like, say, for example, when we had to do it to Angel, mm-hmm. they literally, their body disappears into that portal and is gone. Mm-hmm. In this instance, that's not the case. She
fell down.
She didn't disappear. She didn't fall into that dimension. She literally just...
We see her...
It,
yeah.
They took her blood, closed it, and you see her body. Right. Mm-hmm. She is dead. So in my mind, that symbolizes something different, that she has died a noble death, and now she's going to be able to go where all the noble slayers has gone, which is whatever type of heavenly afterlife yeah. that was. Like, in my mind, it makes sense that she went to... a more heavenly realm.
Yeah.
And she finally has, I mean, there's that peace there. And yeah, right. they didn't know what happened to her. They didn't know where she went. Mm-hmm. But if you, I feel it, I would hope as a friend, I would hope that she is in peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With how
right.
she died. Right.
Instead of assuming.
Yeah. Instead of assuming that she is suffering.
But nobody asked yeah. that question.
No, which was stupid.
And then that's what I get... can't get my head around. I mean, why wouldn't you have the conversation? Maybe she's happy where she is.
There's a reason they didn't tell Giles.
Because Giles would not have let this happen.
Giles would have asked the question, yeah. or Giles would have known the
Willow
answer.
Willow knew that, and that's why Willow was like, no, we can't tell anybody.
Willow got selfish this yeah. season.
She did. Very much so.
She got extremely, extremely selfish. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then when she came back, right? And then all of her money was gone? Where did you guys spend this girl's money at?
Why is it?
Well, she mentioned it was hospital bills.
Yeah, but why does Buffy have to get a job? What are you doing? Willow, Tara, even Dawn. I'm sorry. Dawn is old enough. She could get a partial, you know, like after school job. Y'all are just that's living off
Willow
money.
And Tara are going to live there. They need to be
exactly.
working.
And they're not. They're
I don't
school.
Care if you're in college.
They're in school, and that's their entire purpose. I'm just like, that is some BS. And it made me so angry at every one of those characters.
Yeah, because they basically... Let's say, I know you guys haven't been in, but medical bills can be discharged through probate. So that okay. is not an excuse of where her money should have went. That should have been protected. When you get, like, mm-hmm. money from, like, insurances, that's protected.
And what were they going to do?
But wait, what medical bills?
From...
Are we talking about Joyce's medical bills?
That's what they claimed.
That's where it claimed, where they were like, there were medical bills. Well, they shouldn't have been paying for that. That's where probate comes into hand. Like, after somebody dies, they go through and discharge that. So that should not have been a thing.
But what were they going to do? Buffy didn't come back.
Why didn't Giles take over that household? Why did Willow... That is my question. Why did the student, who doesn't know what she's doing in life, take over that household when you have a mentor adult
exactly.
there who could have mm-hmm. stepped in and taken over for Dawn and taken care of
exactly.
Dawn? And Willow and Tara could have been back in the dorms
exactly.
where they needed to be.
Exactly.
Like, that made no sense to me when I saw that. I'm like, you should not be living in this house. You should not be sleeping in Joyce's right. bed.
That part was definitely a little weird.
So, just like Sammy said... If Buffy didn't come back, what was their major plan?
Just lose the house?
Which, exactly.
Apparently. I mean, what it seemed like, right?
Because they were just like, well, we got to go over some money things, and now we got to put this weight on you when you just came back from being dead. Mm-hmm. And I get it. If I was Buffy, I wouldn't want to come back, too. When she asked Dawn on top of the thing, she was like, the tower, is this hell? Coming from heaven
that
to this.
That's sad, too.
Clearly, this is a hell dimension.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, the way she's just...
No like, burdens, no suffering, no pain. Absolutely, that would be heaven. And then have to go back into that, where you have to experience the pain and the suffering
hell.
And the struggles of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Well, honestly, if Dad... And here's the other part. That not just Giles... Why wasn't Dad called? Dad's still alive.
Loser. What is he doing?
Yeah, why didn't his...
Dad is in L.A. Yeah.
Exactly.
Why wasn't Dad called?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's so many questions. Like, you know, Buffy's dad could have came up after. I know they didn't get along, but she's still the, mm-hmm. he's still the father. Mm-hmm. And so Dawn should have went with her father.
Yep.
And well, that's how it would have went legally. Well, your dad's yep. alive. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to L.A. now.
You're, yep.
And then this whole money situation shouldn't have happened. I think Dawn was embezzling from Buffy.
Dawn.
Or not Dawn, but Willow.
Okay. Willow. I was like, well, I think Willow and Tara used her yeah. money to pay for their tuition.
Oh, absolutely.
They clearly were using it for other things.
Clearly. And I don't understand why Buffy didn't have these conversations, you know.
Because they're 20-something, they're early 20-somethings. They don't think of these things. You don't have
heavy conversations when you're in your 20s, because, or your early 20s, rather. Mm-hmm. Because that's just, it's too hard, and you're young and very dumb.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah. I wonder how much life insurance
exactly that because
she had. Right,
she came out and said Joyce was prepared. She had life insurance.
So where did it go?
I mean, things change. I mean, you can only be a kid to an extent. When people die, that really changes you. You're no longer a kid anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to start looking at things logically. You know, and yeah. We say we don't have those conversations. When my dad was died, I was like, mm-hmm. how are we going to survive? I even made a deal with my sister. I'll drop out of school. You continue. I'll bust my, to pay for everything while you graduate. And then I will go back and finish. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have these conversations because you're, again, in this season, you're no longer a kid. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I just think it's the problem is this is all Joss's mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So however he thought they would have handled it, then what really should have happened in the real world is what we're seeing that's right now. That's very true. And that's why it's so frustrating to us, yeah. because sometimes I don't agree with Joss's mind.
No.
Well, no, he gets a little big for his...
Britches?
His own... Exactly, thank you. And he kind of... There's a lot of holes that he just sort of fills in with little things that mm-hmm. doesn't really...
Yeah.
You know. He's done that a few... Yeah, he's done that more than once.
Yeah. That's why I think they should have stopped at season 5.
Would have been perfect.
It was his pinnacle.
Yeah, it would have been a great ending.
Done. Great ending.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Willow should have definitely gotten a job, or you know she's going to college, right? You get tuition, you get your room and board paid. Why didn't her loans pay for the house? You know, because
there's a lot of questions that you, I guess we'll never have.
You can take out a loan and live off a campus, and your loan helps you pay for rent and food and all that.
Yeah.
Why wasn't Tara and Willow doing that with their tuition money?
That's a great question.
So,
because that wouldn't make for good television. Question.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're right. Yeah.
That would make for responsible television and no drama.
Exactly. And then they wouldn't have any ratings.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm never going to meet Joss Whedon personally, but I got a feeling that just he's one of those people who it's like his personal emotions and his television. The fact that like. There is no line. It's all kind of one. And at the end of the day, it's like everything makes for good television, despite how many people I hurt in the process.
What is Joss Whedon even doing now?
I don't know.
No,
I don't know. He's disappeared.
I mean, he had that bunch of Me Too stuff.
Bunch of Me Too stuff. And then he kind of gave an interview sort of addressing it, but it basically just came out to like, I don't care. I am what I am.
But I know,
right?
I know you.
Wait, he was in the Me Too movement.
Charisma Carpenter had a lot to say about.
There was some, Josh. Yeah. There was some.
Oh,
things
really?
That came out
when
about
we get
him.
Into Angel, yeah, we'll be able to find a lot more about that. I think.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I mean, I know he directed Avengers, several of them.
Well, two.
And Justice League.
And Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Justice League.
That's funny.
Now, all I know is that there were rumors that they had to kind of make sure he wasn't in the room by himself with Michelle Trachtenberg during.
I heard that too.
I thought it was Sarah.
Oh really?
No, I heard it was Michelle too.
Was he trying to?
I mean, it's probably a lot of them, but yeah, that she was included in that.
What do you think he was doing?
I don't want to know.
I don't think it ever said. I think they just said. I read the same thing that they just were not permitted to be alone together.
Okay. So. I I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, but do you really think Joss, isn't he married?
And he's married.
That doesn't mean anything kids, nowadays.
Yeah. He can still be a creep. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Especially when you're running a show, you have all that power.
Joss Whedon is very much canceled. That's everything I'm seeing.
Yeah. I mean, you're only canceled till you're not canceled. It's Hollywood. People have short memories.
Well, he is not involved in the reboot.
No, I figured that.
No, she's not going to let him be part of that.
I figure Sarah has more power than she did when Buffy was starting. I hear that Sarah Michelle Gellar didn't even make $1 million off the show.
Out of all the seasons?
Wait, who?
Yeah.
What was that? What happened?
Per episode, she never was paid $1 million. It was always like $250,000 per episode.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, she made over $1 million, but she never got a raise to $1 million an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it probably didn't help with them moving from one network to another and all that, too. It's hard to negotiate stuff, I'm sure.
Well, and you got a big main cast. That's really hard to you got a budget.
Oh yeah, I mean,
how are you going to be able to pay someone $1 million and the rest of them like what, 50,000?
I mean, look at the Big Bang Theory, right? That's what happened with them.
Yeah, but they also had a longer running and I think a bigger following.
Buffy was really popular back then.
I know James talking about they had a huge budget, so they worked 20-hour days because they could pay all the people overtime. Oh,
okay.
I just saw an interview where he was talking about that. So, granted, I don't know what that
means. So that thought is null and void.
Yeah, to me, it sounded like they were giving them a lot of money for things, but who knows?
I don't know. All I know is, honestly, I don't believe that these actors should be making this amount of money anyways. But that's my own personal
thing. It is obscene.
It is extremely obscene. They entertain us, but they don't, like...
They're not curing cancer.
They're not, yes. They're not curing cancer. They're not teaching the next generation. Yeah. They're not... The only thing they give to our society is their entertainment. That's it. And and their opinion.
Well, don't underestimate the value of entertainment. I mean, a lot of
lessons
and wisdom can be gained from entertainment.
Yes. And as a creative, I agree with you, but I don't think that they should be making multi-millions. Mm.
But I guess if you look, you correct me, but if you look at all of Hollywood, the amount of people making that obscene amount of money is actually very small.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Look at the strike. That's why the strike happened, because you only have a small group making millions and millions of dollars, and then you have all these other people, below the line level people. Mm-hmm. When I say below the line, like production line, like they're not trying to fill in your audience, like director or DP, director of photography, they're like PAs and grips and caterers and everything. They're living job to job to job. And we saw that with the strike happening. And this is a good time for me to plug. We go subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com because it does help us out. Sorry, there's a shameless plug for you guys.
Why not, right?
But yeah.
Well, and that's where I believe there should be a little bit more equality in how we're paid.
Like, no,
that
I agree.
Small 100%. Group of people who are making multi-millions for one or two episodes or one movie, and you got all these other people who are actually your backbone, and you're paying them measly nothing. Right. Like,
during the strike,
it irks me.
There was a fund where people would pay people below the line. Employees that were off because of the strike. So these big actors like George Clooney, big ones, would give $1 million to be able to put people back to work or give them a stipend for helping them with expenses during the strike. George Clooney did it.
Didn't Drew Carey buy everybody's food?
Yeah, Drew Carey, the Hollywood big boy. If you could prove that you were in the industry, he would pick up your tab, right? He ended up spending over $700,000 just on food. And that was in the Hollywood and big boy in Hollywood. Big boy restaurant.
Yeah.
But all you did is have to show your SAG card or something like that, and he would pick up the tab.
He'd pay for it. That's really cool.
Wow. That's really cool awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We actually covered this. Are people out there who make the money who want to give back.
We definitely covered this.
A lot of them don't.
In my documentary.
That's what I thought you were going to promote.
That's what I'm doing now. Hollywood in Crisis. You can watch this by subscribing to our platform.
There you go.
There's another shameless plug. So.
There you go.
But yeah, going out there and being in the strike and talking to people, you realize that only a couple people, only like 5% of Hollywood is making millions of dollars. There's probably over 100,000 people, 130,000 in SAG, and only 30,000 of them are working regularly.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Let's get back to Buffy. I think there's one more trivia we didn't do yet.
Yeah, it's fairly long. Pretty much, like, it's about Sarah Michelle Gellar's take on the season. She disliked it due to its darker tone. She was very unhappy with the move from WB to UPN, and the decision to pair Buffy up with Spike in a destructive relationship was one that she actually protested against, feeling that it was out of character and that Buffy's relationship with Angel was the one that mattered. The fact that Joss was also working on Angel and Firefly during this time, had stepped aside as the showrunner on Buffy, made matters worse, as she felt that she had nobody to appeal to when she disagreed with creative decisions. She said in 2003, it wasn't who Buffy was or why people loved her. You don't want to see that dark heroine. You don't want to see her punishing herself. You want to see her killing vampires and making quips. If it didn't feel like the characters that I loved. Josh always explained that the season as being about your 20s when you're not a kid anymore, but you don't know what you want to do with your life. He always said that I didn't understand last year because I always known what I wanted to do and I didn't have that confusion, dark, depressive period. But I think the heart of the show lies in the humor of the drama. I feel like Buffy's spirit was missing last year. And in 2017, she even elaborated more. I've always said that season 6 was not my favorite. I felt it betrayed who she was. Even just getting to talk to Joss and be able to get his opinion was not as easy when he's not upstairs. He had 3 shows, Angel, Firefly, and Buffy.
Well, I think another reason why Buffy was kind of different is because she should have been dead.
I mean, could you imagine coming back from that?
Like, yeah, psychologically, that would mess you up.
So dramatic. Like,
yeah, I feel like Sarah, well, it almost feels like Sarah wishes she never died. Because,
I guess, if I mean, as a storyteller, I guess that is what she's saying.
Yeah, like, basically.
Yeah. Like, you can't keep normal Buffy. You can't keep what she was, what she wanted to be.
No.
And honestly, in reality, yes, we don't like it. We don't like the destructive relationship. I know it affected her and it affected James. But in reality, when you go into dark places like that, especially as a female, you tend to find abusive or just horrible relationships or a horrible point in there. I've had friends who've done it. I've experienced it. I wasn't abused, but it was not a good relationship. And it just happens. So he is right. This season was very, very more of a realistic view. And it did walk away from the fantastical. And I hate that Sarah, it's not her favorite. And it probably wasn't her favorite to play. But to bring Buffy back from this, we kind of had to have this season, even though I hate it.
I think that's the reason why she gets a job at the Double Meat Palace, is because she hates herself. Or she's very...
She hates... She just can't connect to the world.
I think she's... There's a depression there. And I do think she does not happy with herself. So you choose to do stuff like that. Even though she says, I need money, there's better ways to get money. I think she was
in, Double Meat Palace.
In her head, this is the only thing she deserves, you know, because she has unresolved issues from her choices. She's not happy with herself. I think at the end
of the day. That can be summed up in her conversation with Tara, where Tara, like, she admits to Tara what she's been doing with Spike. And she says, I mean, she's breaks down and says, don't forgive me, please don't. Who begs that? Who does that?
Yeah, like
who begs not to be forgiven? Like, she wants to be punished. You know,
which is so dumb, because Spike is a horrible vampire. He is a villain. He just has a chip in his head, whatever. But honestly, in my opinion, the one who made that relationship toxic was her.
Yes,
very much so.
I mean, she keeps telling him, like, I'm just using you. I just want to feel something. you know, and
he wanted to give her his word.
And that's
he actually wanted to commit to her.
Absolutely.
He actually was going to be a good vampiric boyfriend.
He can't let go of her. So that's why he sings that to her, right? Like, just let me rest in peace. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she kept pulling him back. She kept going to him. She couldn't just cut it off. And then she strings him along through the whole series, the whole
season.
And then cuts the cord. And yes, what he does in that one episode, and I don't know how deep we want to get into that one episode, what he does is horribly, horribly wrong. And
so
just, I hate that episode. I do not condone it whatsoever. But it literally, it led up to that. Everything that happened between him and her, because she can't let him go, or she can't let this idea go. She keeps stringing him, all the things. It like leads up to this. There's going to be a horrible moment between them that has to stop it all. And I hate that that's what it brought to. But honestly, in my opinion, she is the most toxic part of that relationship. And I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
Like, she should have just told her friends, look, you have Tara and doing whatever. You, Xander has Anya. I'm going to diddle Spike. And that's my business.
I'm a grown up.
I'm a grown up.
So
this is none of your business. You can either respect me or don't respect me, but this is none of your business. That's what she should have done. And getting back to the scene you were talking about, a female writer wrote that for the show. And James was like arguing with them, is we shouldn't shoot this. We shouldn't shoot this.
Yeah, they did try and point out it was not gonna come
it was
across.
Wrong. We shouldn't have. That shouldn't have been the scene that broke.
No.
Sammy was telling me that James had to go through therapy for that.
Oh yeah, no, I've heard that as well. He's he had a rough time.
But you know, I get his viewpoint. He's an actor, and you have to do what the pages say. But he fought so hard for him not to do that.
Yeah. So now he becomes the bad guy. When really it's both of them.
I mean, I think...
And a lot of people, I feel like, in Buffy universe, think they blame Spike for everything. And I'm like, no. Back it up. We're not blaming just... We're not just blaming Spike. This is Buffy.
Yeah. What she should have... I think they all treat him bad. They all need it, Spike.
Except for Dawn.
Except for Dawn.
Except for Dawn.
Well, even...
Dawn sees the good.
No, Dawn likes to be buddies with him.
I know, but sometimes he's like, oh, you're like stalking my sister.
Well, she was saying that, I think, in the last season. I think it was last season, because she kind of had a crush on Spike, and then she's just mad because everybody always wants Buffy. Xander liked Buffy. Spike likes Buffy. Everybody likes Buffy, right?
Everybody loves Buffy.
You know, the point where I actually started liking Tara in the show was when Buffy told her about Spike.
Like we were just talking.
And she was like, cool.
That was my moment.
You know?
And I feel like that's when...
At that moment, Tara just... And then I was like, she's cool. She can be in the gang. Yeah. But up until that point, she didn't do much. She was just there.
Because Willow drowned her out. Like, in my opinion, Willow overshadows Tara so much. Yes. In their relationship. So when Tara finally makes a decision and leaves Willow for the crap that she's been pulling, it's like Tara finally finally finds herself outside of Willow. Like, I do love Tara away from Willow. Yeah. I don't like them together. I think it's, again, another toxic relationship.
What did you think of her death?
It's a Joss Whedon
death. That's the way I see it.
I wanted Willow to do exactly what she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Tara is a beautiful light, and I think she was the only, like...
She was the most...
Real person in the series.
She was the most level-headed, the most emotionally intelligent, the most decent, non-judgmental.
She had the most control. She created
that safe space for all of her friends who were going through something and never once...
Judged them.
Condemned them.
Nope.
They said, I see you. I'm here for you. I will walk you through this. And nobody else was willing to do that.
Nope.
Yeah.
She's
Tara was just an all around good person.
Amber?
I was so mad when she died.
She's very small in person.
Amber is so short.
Smaller than Buffy. Oh,
yeah. She, yeah. This entire cast is just tiny.
Like, even James. James and I are about the same height, but it's looks so good.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, like, he walked in, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, him and I could stay on back-to-back and be the same height.
It's insane.
And
that's crazy.
The best part of that interview is he did the Spike voice during the interview. And he can just do it on a dime. I'm just like, that's pretty cool.
Oh, he can flip. I've watched interviews with him. He can flip back and forth easily.
Oh, yeah.
From the American to British accent.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping to get him on the show again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
So, yeah. Where do we start? I don't know.
What do you mean? I'm trying to find. We've already been. Oh, I forgot a couple things.
What?
So, I forgot the awards.
Do you have more? Oh, there's more stuff what's more on here. Feeling. Oh.
There's more stuff on here.
I was trying to look at the episodes. Oops. Like, okay.
Oops. But we do need to. Well, I'll just do the awards because I don't know why. I don't know why it told me the season was collected in a DVD
That's
set.
Nice.
That's whatever. So this season actually earned the series Emmy Awards nominations for outstanding hairstyling, outstanding makeup, non-prosthetic, and outstanding makeup prosthetic for the episode Hell's Bells. And then the episode Once More with Feeling was nominated for outstanding music direction. The musical episode won the Hugo Awards category Best Dramatic Presentation. So they didn't win an Emmy, but they got a lot of nominations in the Emmys, which is awesome.
Nice.
But it did win a Hugo Award, which I'm assuming is something to do with musicals, which is true. I love that.
Let me ask you.
Such a good episode.
Why do you guys like the music episode so much?
It just...
I mean, everybody raves about it.
I know I explained it in another episode.
Everybody raves about it. We talked about this sooner. But...
Well, what don't you like about it? Like
the singing. I don't tune into
it's
Buffy.
It's whimsical and it's joyful.
I don't tune into Buffy exactly. for singing. I tune into Buffy to see.
But they're forced to face everything they haven't been talking about.
No, absolutely.
They have to say it in the best, I mean, it's in the song form, the best, which is nice. But.
The best part of that episode is like when Spike is singing and he's like, if that dies, I'll be able to rest in peace. And then he's like, oh,
maybe I should help her.
Language. Free if she dies, but
language.
I'm sorry.
I hope she fries. I'm free if she dies. Yeah, I better help her out.
It's the funniest thing ever. I love that.
It's so quick. That's an easy line to miss, too, because it took me a couple of viewings to actually get what he was saying there. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, he wants to be her willing slave. And which he admits that in his song. Because the thing about, and it's interesting because they sort of expound on this concept in Angel, but when you sing, you bare your soul. You can't lie when you're singing.
So
they're literally just facing their own shadows, their own darker side, like their deepest, darkest, unspoken pain, and they're bearing it all. And it's done very beautifully and whimsically, and I don't know. I enjoy musicals anyway, but I like when it's done in such a way where it sort of tears that line between whimsical and like and campy and also just brutally honest and dark in reality.
I agree with that.
You know.
I mean, they actually put out records for this. Like, the songs you could have downloaded on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
Let Me Rest in Peace is, like, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, same.
James is a singer. I mean, he...
He's good.
And Giles is a singer as well.
James, Anthony.
I love Anthony Stewart.
Oh, Giles.
Anytime he sings, I'm just like, it's magical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I want to learn to sing like him.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
I was looking to see if there's anything in the trivia about this episode.
Yeah.
But anyways, go
outside
on.
Of Rest in Peace, one of my favorite pieces is when him and Tara do their sort of feed off. They're singing about different things, but they're sort of feeding off each other.
Yeah.
He's singing about Buffy. She's singing about Willow, and it's just makes you feel things.
Yeah. So well done.
Yeah. Robbie, at least with me and Dan, we've both been in the musical world. Dan, 1,000 times better than me, but that is our that's the world we grew up in. He's been doing guitar since he was little, and just he did a music. You did music worship degree, didn't you? Like you did a ton of
church music. Actually, I got a funny story about that. But
okay, I was in band in choir and. I wanted to be a singer growing up, like when I was a little kid. Like, music is just part of me and Dan's lives.
Okay.
So something like this for us, we understand the emotion behind it because you do. Anything you do musically just is very bearing of soul. I cry sometimes when there are certain songs that I sing because I can just feel it when I'm, because it's a song that hits me so hard. So
I know music.
That's one of the reasons we love this. I love this is because of the lyrics, because we are looking behind the scenes, because we are hearing things they would never say out loud. Because music brings a whole other element to something that is already beautiful. Like this show is already amazing as it is with the scripts and the acting and different things. And you're bringing in a whole other element that usually, honestly, in my opinion, destroys a show. Like sometimes there have been shows that did musical episodes and they are horrendous. And I'm like, go away. You did not do that right. But this one actually brought it in and Josh is like, okay, challenge accepted. And it worked. And it was perfection when it comes to a musical episode, in my opinion. But like I said, I'm not as musically inclined as some people, so there might be some issues. But it is a part of who we are. Music is a part of who we are as musicians, singers, etc.
Yeah. Well, and too, like, I mean, I was like 18, 19-ish when the first time I saw this episode, and I had been out of high school for a little bit while, and I had taken guitar lessons about 3 years prior to that. So I had a pretty new but also solid understanding of music theory. So deconstructing these songs and then looking at the chord progressions, like, they're very interesting chord progressions and very, like, musically intelligent. They're very emotionally intelligent. And I think that's one of the reasons why, because I was playing with that at the time too, like, seeing, you know, how two parts can be different but also harmonized together, you know, with Giles and Tara and you know, the certain chord progressions of, like, the Something to Sing About, how it goes from happy to sad and, you know, minor to major, you know, and all that. And it's it was really and even Under Your Spell, and actually really interesting story with this one. I had learned the chord progression to that one, and it's a very interesting chord progression because he kind of jumps keys. Like, he jumps from, like, D major to F sharp major. And anyway, so I was kind of playing with that. I was on this church mission trip one time. This was right after Katrina hit.
Oh, boy.
This was right after Katrina hit. So we were up in Mississippi kind of helping out. And we were back in our kind of area at a gym where everyone was you know, congregating, and where we stayed. And there was a guitar. Somebody had an acoustic guitar because it's a church camp. Everybody has an acoustic guitar at some point. Anyway, so I had the guitar and I was...
Rite of passage.
Correct. I was playing the chord progression to Under Your Spell, okay? As in the song that Willow sings to Tara. And I'm just playing through it and playing through it and enjoying, you know, vibe and whatever. One of the pastors, he walks up to me and goes, "Is that a praise and worship song?" In hindsight...
What'd you tell him?
In hindsight... No, I told him what it was. I was like, oh, no, it's from a TV show. But in hindsight, I'm watching it, I'm like...
I mean...
A matter of perspective. A little bit, kind of, in a way, in a sense, it kind of is.
Oh, goodness, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, but, okay. I will say, Anya is hilarious in this episode, too. Just the bunnies,
the rocket
bunny, and, like, she just goes crazy. I'm like, okay, Anya. Of all people, Anya. Calm down, Anya. The bunnies are fine. They're not going to hurt you.
It's always bunnies.
Unless you're in Monty Python, then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has a valid point if you look at it that way.
Yeah, if you look at Monty Python, yeah, the bunnies are, they're vicious. Yes. Yeah, so that's why we like the episode, Robbie. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's just well done.
Okay. You know,
it sticks in your head.
What else happened with season 6? Is that...
Tara dies at the end.
I want to punch Xander in the face. More so.
Are we getting to the wedding episode?
He just irks me so much. Like, number one, you left Anya at the altar. Okay, let's just start there. Okay.
Wait, hold on. Can we talk about why, like... Would you, if someone came to you,
I understand.
Who said they were yourself and showed you these images of what?
Yeah, I understand what happened. Okay. I'm talking about what happened after. Okay, left her.
Okay, like when he comes back.
Yeah. You left her. I understand you have some things to work through. Number one, you can't just expect this person now to say, "Yeah, we can go back to dating." That's not fair to do to Anya because happened, right? And then. You have the nerve to be angry at her for what she does. She wants to go, what did you say, diddle Spike?
Yes, that's what he said.
And she wants to go do whatever with Spike. Guess what?
That's none of your business.
Anya can do what she wants. You're, that's none of her, your business.
Your signal.
And
you're,
then,
they're not together anymore. And she's not doing nothing
exactly.
wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, yeah. you know, of course, Spike being Spike has to throw that little line, well, it's good enough for Buffy. And then he has to go.
I mean, he told her that he was going
to
tell
but
him.
But then he has to go, and he's, like, offended at Buffy. Guess what, Xander? That's none of your business.
None of your business.
Okay? They can do whatever they want to do.
Again, this is why I believe Xander's still in love with Buffy.
Because he shouldn't have gotten that mad. Yeah, I mean.
Nope, not at all.
When Willow found out, she was like, oh. Oh. Nope. You know, just like Tara, like, okay, all right. You know, Dawn, everybody else was. Well, and Giles laughed, which...
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That was like...
I mean, that was a great reaction. But Xander was the only one who was, like, offended by it, right? So I think that...
He had no reason to be offended.
Yeah, that's a valid point. It just... That entire bit, it just made me so angry, the way he was treating Anya. Like, how dare she just not accept that we can go back to dating because I decided I wasn't ready to be married.
He does get a very obnoxious sort of high and mighty attitude whenever he calls people on their whatever, but it's like, you have no room to be high and mighty.
Mm-hmm. He's been that way since episode one.
So no, from the very beginning. He's always been that way. He always gets this sort of like self-righteous sort of scolding attitude.
Yep.
You know, and it's gross and it's annoying and I'm not a fan.
Yep.
Ugh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Stupid Xander. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the fact that he... So, okay. So the one little, like, intricate where I'm like, okay, I see why he's scared. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to... They didn't address it. They didn't talk about it. Why was this never talked about beforehand? Was how his parents are. Right. We've never seen his parents until this moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if we knew about this beforehand, if we had known where Xander came from, if we... That was expounded upon a little bit more... Maybe.
They allude to it.
Maybe.
Off and on.
We would have...
I mean, they...
I've never paid attention enough,
though. They do bring it up off and on, where he talks about them arguing and upstairs. His uncle smells like peppermint because he's addicted to schnapps and, you know, that it's a family thing. So they allude to it, but it's never as in your face as it is in this episode, which I think is fair. Because, yeah, you really see it. You're right.
Yeah. You really see it, and it's like, okay... I don't agree with you, but I see why you're walking away right now. Because you are scared that you and Anya are going
to
become you and your mom.
But talk to
your
Anya.
Dad and your mom.
Like,
yeah, talk
but
to her.
But you need, yeah, you need to tell Anya this. You need to tell her your fears. You guys need to work through this together as a couple and not just walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just being a healthy adult in a committed relationship. Like, you talk about
but
stuff,
the thing
you
is,
work through stuff.
They're not,
no,
they're
not
adults
they're
yet.
Not, they're not adults. They're, that's why you... Yeah.
They're okay. We got to figure this out. How old are they at this point?
21?
So they are.
There has to be.
Okay. When does she become?
They've only been out of high school for about 2 years.
Yeah.
So he's only like 20,
like
20, 21.
Are you
probably 21 because he can buy alcohol.
Right.
So they are. He is super stinking young as it is, and he's marrying a 1,000-year-old ex-demon.
Yeah.
Right.
It's too early for all that.
It's like. Why are you even getting married?
Exactly.
I agree with that, too. They are way too young for all
they
that.
They jumped the gun on that one.
Super young. Mm-hmm. He jumped the gun. She's been around the block.
I mean, he did.
I get why Onion was ready to marry.
Yeah, he proposed to her, so what else is she supposed to think other than he's ready for it?
Yeah, but she was kind of pushing it. She, like, kept wondering when he was going to do it. And she wanted to move in.
Well, I can understand moving in.
He didn't voice any of his concerns. That's the problem.
Yes.
She is very...
They should have done that before the what big day. Been like, we're not...
Before
I'm not really...
he even proposed, he should have thought through something.
Yeah. But there's no communication. He had no... His frontal lobe is still developing.
Xander's will never develop.
Apparently, it's supposed to be developed by 25. But I don't know if that's true
for Xander.
Evidently, that's been debunked. Like, that's actually a... From a study from, like, a long time ago, and then there's been some...
I still like to use it because it makes sense for some people.
Fair enough.
As a metaphoric. Xander.
Anyway.
What else happened?
He could have died, and I would have been fine with it.
Well...
Would have been cool.
You know, when they're having a battle and they... Giles gets hit with an arrow... That's the first time you actually see them being hurt mm-hmm. battling yeah, evil. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then
yeah, you remember that yeah, these people are human. They're actually vulnerable. Yeah, I mean, Buffy is too, but they're not strong like Buffy.
Exactly. This is the first time you actually say damage. Like when Xander loses an eye, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. this isn't a
real
game.
Thing. Yeah.
This isn't a game. Yeah. This is yeah. real life. So I yeah. think that was great that they put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That I know Buffy has supernatural powers, but you guys are human.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even yeah. when like yeah. they yeah. get hit by the vampires and everything when they're patrolling at night, they never right. come off mm-hmm. and be like, oh man, I got hit, or you know.
Mm-hmm. No, only Buffy'd be the one who'd show any sort of right. like blood or something, but she healed so quickly right. it didn't
yeah.
matter.
Yeah, it wasn't really
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
And that's why I yeah. wanted to make that a point earlier. It's like, they all contributed something valid. Like, they all had something to be able to band together to actually do patrolling. But even with all of their powers, it still didn't even come close to just Buffy doing it on her own.
Right.
You know? Like, they yeah. were scathing by, and that was like six of them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
five of them, whatever.
I will say it was nice seeing Willow back to Willow. Of sleuthing on the computer and her geekiness yeah. and like her finally sure. finding her old self again
right.
before, you know, she turned dark.
Yeah, I'm remembering who she was.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That was really, it was really nice seeing her mm-hmm. do that. What was the other thing? Oh, the normal again episode. Okay, we got to talk yes. about the stupid episode.
Which one was that?
Where she gets pulled in, like, the demon stabs her, and she's, like, in a mental health institution, and all of this is a dream, and yeah. he did that stupid thing. But then, of course, at the very end of the stupid episode, they show her in a catatonic state and the door, and I'm like, so are you saying that it is all in her mind, and we're just watching her stuff? Like, are we going Inception here?
Maybe.
I hate when they do that.
Yeah, really messes with your mind.
We're all just figments of somebody else's dream.
So do you think it's all in her head?
Stop it.
You think she's
I would like to believe no, because it makes
I would believe not.
So
okay,
or you know what we could say, it could be like the multi-universe thingy,
but that's one button.
Where that is a part, that is a different strand, mm-hmm. and she was just going back and forth between it.
She's on there. In the multiverse.
That's another timeline yes.
in the
that doesn't have vampires.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Oh, we can. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've seen like little glimpses of what other timelines could look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The vampire episode, or the Willow vampire
yeah.
episode.
But also the episode when Willow makes everyone lose their memory, and yeah. you realize
oh, yes.
this is how all these people would be if they were just average schmoes. Mm-hmm. Like if they were all the side characters that are always running away from the vampires, that's what they would look like if they were just, you know, if they weren't superheroes mm-hmm. in any way.
Yeah. True.
I thought that was kind of, you know, but yeah, true. You know, we get, yeah.
Yep. I'm trying to think if there's any other episodes before we really go into depth of Dark Willow.
Yeah, I figured. I mean, I did, well, the episode Dan just brought up, I did enjoy that as a little buffer episode where they're, you know, they're all trying to figure out who they are, and it, mm-hmm. it's just...
You're yeah. not too young for maybe to put over your mom I knee, you know.
It's so great. And then he thinks his name is Randy, and he goes, oh.
Randy. God. Randy Giles. Why don't you just call me Horny Giles?
That was, you know, they kind of, you know, this episode they kind of redid it in Angel.
Yeah,
they did do. Yeah, they did do a version of that in Angel, which was also really
making that connection. Is they yeah. they basically reused this episode
yeah.
as a plot, mm-hmm. and I mean, when you guys
still did funny Angel, though,
yeah,
funny, no matter what.
I don't think I've seen that episode yet. I've yeah. only, and if I have, I don't remember it. I've only watched, how many seasons did I say I got through?
Like three.
Three?
Well, four? You should just skip everyone with Connor, because that's dumb.
Dumb.
That's his son.
That's his son. Angel's son.
That is a big yeah. plot point.
That is a, man, if you don't
that's know. That's a in major which plot point.
Four.
So I have not seen season four, because I did not know.
No, you remember season four. Season four had some really weird stuff go down in it.
Terrible.
I mean, very, very weird stuff.
Is that the one where Charisma's character turns into like some weird goddess thingy?
Goddess sort of like
not really her anymore.
No, yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Slash, like gateway person who births Connor. Wait, does she like give birth to Connor and then he grows up?
No,
and then she like has a weird sort of
Darla
gives birth.
Sorry, Darla, okay. Ashley. Darla
gets pregnant. No, that's what it is. Cordelia
Darla
gives birth
gets
something.
Pregnant by Angel.
There we go.
Yeah. But then Cordelia gives birth to somebody else.
It's a thing.
Wait, hold on. Back up. You're telling me that Angel impregnates Darla and what's her face? Cordelia?
No, Cordelia gets pregnant by something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
She gets...
Yeah, Cordelia gets... No, yeah, she gets...
I don't think I could have wrapped my mind around him doing that to both of them.
Isn't Cordelia's Jasmine? Isn't that who she birthed?
Yep. Jasmine, that's who it was. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember she was pregnant and then she gave birth to something, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Impregnated.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, because Connor got her...
That's season four. You're going to get lost in season four. Season four is just... It jerks you around so much.
It's terrible.
It's got its moments, and we get a lot of Angelus, which can be a lot of fun. We definitely see
is redeeming.
You're gonna,
but, yeah.
If you listen, I tell this to anybody, anyone who's like, I'm tired of Angel, I want more Angelus. Be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get a lot of that in season four to the point where you're going to get tired of it.
Well, I don't even in season four. I don't think he reached his full potential as Angelus.
Well, we'll get there.
All I know is I love Angelus, and I was sick of him.
No, I gotcha. No,
interesting.
Like, you want Angelus to really mess things up when he's around, right? And I don't think he got the leeway to do that.
Maybe.
Very weird.
I don't know. I have to watch it again.
Well, let's go back to Buffy.
Yeah.
Buffy season five.
Can I just say that I think it's hilarious that Dawn fell for a vampire? In that episode where she almost gets killed by a vampire.
I mean,
Harkin, yeah.
She is a Summers.
Buffy held her.
She is a Summers, yes.
With a vampire?
It runs in the family.
It's so funny. I do love when Buffy's yelling at her. Are you out here parking? Like, come on, Buffy.
She goes if very mom. Else, it's very
the
interesting.
The couple that gets out of their car and is like, when Buffy's like, anybody else here just parking? And she's like, raise your hand. And she was like, oh, you guys could leave, right?
I think she doesn't want.
Yeah.
Why did they even get out of the car?
That's what our question was. Like, why did you go over there?
Why did you even get out? Oh, a bunch of people are just circling around. Let's go see what's going on.
For comical relief.
It was.
Oh, and that was Amber Tamblyn was in that episode.
Yes, Amber was. That's right.
Amber
Tamblyn.
Oh, Amber Tamblyn.
Oh, that girl. Yeah, I got it. What did she do?
I can't think of anything else she's in right now except the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, but she's in other things.
Amber Tamblyn. Right
was
there.
She in
there she is, right next
to Joan of Arcadia. That's why.
Joan of Arcadia was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Yep.
That was a good show.
Right there. Come on now. She was in an episode of House.
I don't really know her.
Come on, seriously?
She was in House.
Yeah,
she's in The Ring.
Yeah.
Oh, let's watch that.
She was in The Ring.
Ugh, not again. I watched it once in my life, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for a lot boy. Of
yes, boy. How do you not know who Amber Tamblyn is?
Literally.
Stupid boy think that I need him.
Oh, my God.
It was my first date, too. It was a group date. Samantha was there.
Alexa Bell.
Bledel. She's married to.
Oh,
David Cross.
Really?
Yes.
I know him from Arrested Development.
There you go. You know somebody somewhat adjacent to her. So.
Are they still married?
Yes.
Oh, great. You know, it's Hollywood, you know?
It's true.
It's very true. Apparently, Orlando Bloom and I don't know if it's rumor or if it's real, but apparently Orlando and Miss Perry are separating.
Yeah, Katy Perry.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know they were together.
They're like married 10 years. And have a kid and everything.
Married 10 years.
No idea.
Where have you
had
been?
No idea.
Yep.
Okay.
Never would have known.
Apparently,
that.
They had a huge fight about the space thing.
Because it was fake?
Because it was stupid?
Because he was stupid. He didn't understand why she thought she needed to do it.
I am not care. I have not cared about Katy Perry since the friggin' Teenage Dream, I'll be honest.
Oh,
that was actually a good
that
record.
That was Russell Brand era. So.
Were they dating?
Yeah.
Russell Brand?
Yes, they were married, too.
Did they get married, too?
I don't know
that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's just, like, a terrible person, so.
I could see that, honestly, with Katy Perry.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Not that I don't like some of her music, but, you know.
She totally ripped off Bonnie McKee, though.
Who?
Nobody knows. Exactly. Nobody knows who Bonnie McKee was. She was another pop star who came from the same town. Or she wasn't a pop star, but she was another pop singer who came from the same town. And a lot of what Katy Perry is, Bonnie McKee kind of... She took a lot from Bonnie McKee. In my opinion, Bonnie was a lot better.
Oh, she helped write California Girls and Teenage Dream and Last Friday Night.
Bonnie McBean?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
The more you know, Brock.
She's a lot prettier, too.
She's getting the money for something. Twins.
I hope she is.
Well, she's a writer. She'd be getting money from that.
Okay. Let's talk Dark Willow.
Dark Willow.
We got to talk about it. So it starts in Seeing Red when Warren shoots.
And kills.
That moment when all of a sudden the red, like, that was a perfect
splatter
imagery of the white shirt with the red splatter. Like, it was like, oh, crap. And when she went from sobbing to, and, like, what I found, I thought it was interesting that when she was sobbing and she was trying to invoke Osiris, and, like, Osiris comes and he's like, no.
Nope.
This is not how this works. Mm-hmm. And she's like, BS, and just, like, shoots him with whatever power at that point. Because I didn't know how evil she was going to get the first time I watched it. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She powerful.
Yes.
And then how she walked out with, like, what happened? It was Warren. Warren. What? And just and walked just away. Leaves. I'm just like, oh.
You notice how Xander didn't say, why do you have blood on your shirt?
What? She was upset.
No, he didn't even, because it didn't even phase him.
He was in shock over Buffy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He was just, like, not connecting that she had blood on her as well. So, I get it.
Do you think Buffy would have lived or died if Willow didn't come and take the bullet out? Think she would have died?
I don't know. It was heavily implied when Warren was bragging about it that everyone's like, the bullet's not going to kill a Slayer. But I don't think she would have recovered as quickly.
Going in,
I think she would have lived.
Yeah, I think she would have lived regardless.
I mean, look at
Faith. Think the doctors were about to to find the leak and to sew it up.
Look at Faith. I mean,
she lived.
Yeah,
I'll say Faith had probably a lot worse than Buffy, and she lived. She was.
But it took her a while to recover, though. That would have been a thing.
I mean,
yeah, poor Faith. Don't we get her next season?
Yes, we do.
Oh yeah, she goes. That's right. She comes back.
I love Faith.
Yeah.
But I just love the girl who plays her. I can never say her name right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to like Dollhouse because we get a lot of her there.
I know. She's the main character. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
So we have all that. And then we go into Villains where she goes to Rank, which Rank is the guy Rack. Who plays Rank, Rack, whatever Rack. His name is.
Rack.
Is the same guy who played the vampire she had to kill when she lost her powers, correct?
Yep.
They recycled him. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure I was not delusional. So when she just destroyed him, actually I was kind of happy because I think he needed to be destroyed. But that it just her the I feel like every episode just her power got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh yeah.
And what I loved is when we got to the last one. Well, she's chasing him all over the place, which is just creepy as crap. But when she finally gets to the end where she's about to destroy the world, because apparently that's what they do. Why did we choose Xander to save her?
Xander was her best and longest friend.
Is that why?
That's why. That made sense.
Buffy he knew her
the
there.
Longest. He knew, he was there every step of the way. Yeah. I mean, as close as, Buffy was there for
a good portion of it. But they were like family.
Well, they were childhood best friends.
Buffy wouldn't have approached it the same way Xander did.
No.
I think that was the most unselfish thing Xander's done in the whole series.
That was the only time I liked him.
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
All it took was love.
And the power of friendship.
Which, oddly enough, is not something I thought Joss would do.
I did. As much as as many problems as I have with him, he's always leaned into that, in the end, love conquers all sort of trope.
I have not seen that until this moment.
Yeah. We do see another version of this in Angel, because Faith has a similar arc.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not as crash-outy as Willow, but, Angel sort of does for Faith what Xander did to Willow.
Yep.
Like, he just kind of, it's not I love you, but it's like, I'm here for you, I forgive you, I'm trying to help you,
Right.
Yeah. Because I don't see, we don't see it in Firefly. Granted, we only get one season of Firefly.
Now, we probably would have seen it in Firefly at some point.
And then we got the movie, and Love got horribly torn asunder in the movie.
Yeah.
Have you watched the movie, Sammy?
I mean, I will, but no.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it then. And I don't know Dollhouse to know.
I don't know if they have that similar, but they definitely it definitely gets like it gets emotional. I do remember that.
What is it about?
Gotcha.
You just
What's Dollhouse about?
It's kind of a lot to explain, but it's sort of similar to Westworld, only with real people instead of robots. So
okay.
Okay.
That's the best way I can kind of describe it.
Well, one thing I like about Dark Willow that we were, because we just watched those episodes last night. When she's fighting Buffy, and Willow just tears into everybody with what's wrong with them. And I was like,
You certainly need
that's a new level.
Everything. She was like, we need to kick every square inch of you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, Willow.
Yeah.
And then
she wants it to hurt.
And then when Giles came back, she was like, when you were relevant.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang.
Okay.
That's a sting.
That was harsh.
I know, right?
Which also, Giles' entrance, fantastic.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
I think the best part is after he seduced her, he's talking to Buffy and he's like, oh, you cut your hair.
Yeah, like
in the middle
of all this stuff going down.
Well, that happens throughout, like, every time someone, like, finally snaps out of it, they're like, your hair. Even Willow was like, Buffy, your hair.
Yeah, after she was invisible. Oh, my gosh.
And then Anya's like, oh, I dyed my hair blonde.
Yeah, she comes over and she's like, my hair is blonde.
I thought that was actually pretty funny.
That was cute. Yeah. You know, Anya's trying to be.
I will say I like Anya better when she's not with Xander.
She is.
Yeah. I did like her the end of this
episode. Yeah. She's very helpful this episode.
I mean, they gave her, they did a lot more with her than they did with Tara. That's why she has a lot more character development than Tara does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if Tara, I mean, Tara has development when, because she was a small mousy person. She thought she had a devil or demon inside of her. So there was that development. And then she did develop after her and Willow broke up, but it was more subtle. Mm-hmm. It was more subtle than in your face like Anya, because Tara is a subtle character.
I mean,
at least that's my opinion.
No, that's fine, but I think they could have used her more.
Oh, definitely.
They could have given her, you know, special stuff to do in the episode, but they didn't. Granted, you only have so much time in an episode, and
you have so many main characters that deal with. Yeah. Difficult.
So,
and to go back to Dark Willow. With Warren being killed, you know, Buffy, listen, love Buffy, right? But Buffy's whole thing with, oh, we don't do that, you know.
We don't kill humans.
We have to let, you know, basically the police deal with it. I mean, I get it, but somebody needed to do that to Warren.
Oh, for sure.
He was deserved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bored now. That's the best thing. It's very gross.
Yep.
It actually took my brain a second to like register what was happening. I'm like, what?
You flayed him.
Oh, that's what just happened.
And then they talk about later and they're like the smell and everything. I'm like, oh.
You think that would smell?
Yeah. But Xander said it did.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Xander would be the one to smell it.
Yeah. I'll admit, it's like as much as Warren deserved it, and he did deserve it, there was a moment where just describing how powerful Willow was and how dangerous she was and how just royally screwed he was, part of me did actually kind of fear for him a little bit. Like, I was genuinely afraid of Willow. Mm-hmm. When she was, like, appearing. Stalking him and, like, just appearing in the woods, I was like, oh, buddy, you deserve this, but also I do kind of feel bad for you. Like, there's no good ending for you. And when he's on the bus thinking, even though it's not really him technically, but we get that sense of like, I'm trying to escape. I'm trying to get away as quick as possible. And you just, that feeling of dread and doom. Like, yeah.
I don't know why I didn't see that it was a robot at first, because I honestly thought his eye popped out for a second. I'm like, oh, I wanted to puke. And then it was like, it showed the electric.
Yeah. Right.
Thank goodness. Like, oh, robot.
Thank you, robot.
Because eyes to me, like skin going, it doesn't bother me as much, but I
yeah,
I can't do it. I don't know what about eyes. I just, like, it makes me think of, Sammy, do you remember us having to watch that eye surgery in Madsen's class?
Vaguely, yeah.
Where they, like, peeled back layers of the eye to do a
Yummy, yummy.
Very gross. Disgusting. Yeah.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. No. Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, Evil Willow was, honestly, I think she, if she was able to be Evil Willow during Glory, I think she would have given Glory a run for her money.
I could see that.
I could see that.
Definitely.
I could definitely see that.
I mean, I still think Glory would have won, though. She would. She's a god.
I mean, it would have been. It would have been
very close.
Very close.
Yeah, a lot closer.
Very
than
close. Because even when Willow had her dark side in season 5, like it, she lost, but it still wounded her.
Mm-hmm. Like, wounded
Glory.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
No more Ava Willow. No more. I have started season 7. Like, I'm in the episode where she came back, but they're not seeing each other, and I don't remember why they're not seeing each other. Like, I gotta finish that episode today, mm-hmm. so I know what the heck's going on.
Right.
But, like, seeing her at the first episode of, like, the healing and stuff, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, normal Willow, we're good, we're good. And
isn't that where Giles brings her to London with him, or England?
Yeah, she's in England with Giles, yeah. right? Yeah.
To, like, meet the coven so they can try to help her heal and control her, mm-hmm. her power.
What was...
Because it is true, it's something that's inside her. Like, she can't get rid of mm-hmm. it. It is there. It's a part of her. I think it's always been a part of her. She just didn't know it until she tapped into it later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And now she has to figure out how to control it, just like Buffy had to figure out how to control her powers and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why the actor wanted, with Giles, he wanted to leave the show? He was like, I'm going back to England.
He wanted to be with his family.
Oh, is that it?
That's all it was. Yeah, he just, because he was in L.A.
His
family is in England. So.
Gotcha.
He just wanted more time there.
Yeah. It makes me sad, though, because I feel like Giles shouldn't have left. Like, I feel like Giles, there was
so much more for him to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I felt like there was other stuff for him to do and other ways to be there. And honestly, I think some of this stuff wouldn't have happened if he was there to be like, hello.
Yes.
Listen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
And I feel like him leaving set them up for failure.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense why Anthony wanted to go back to England to be with his family, mm-hmm. but, like, Giles leaving in the show just feels very, very selfish and very, very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't care for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'll buy that for $1.
I feel like I should know your reference, but I don't.
Oh, RoboCop.
Oh, okay. All right, anything else about season 6 before we wrapped up? This is our longest episode we've done for a season for Buffy.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in season 6.
There's a lot to talk about,
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, there's probably more we could talk about if we had more time. Mm-hmm. But
if we went episode by episode.
Well, yeah, but I mean, especially with this season, I mean, just because so much happened.
Yeah.
What do you think about Anya going back to being a vengeance demon?
I mean, I'm not shocked.
I get it. She's upset.
She literally got left at the altar by an idiot.
I think this time around, her heart wasn't into it.
No. Oh, no.
She was just, doing it because it was familiar to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She went back to what she knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Yeah.
As we do, as we tend to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't remember why she dies, though, in the last episode.
She gets eaten by a vampire. She gets killed by a vampire.
I thought she gets sliced up by a sword.
It's like a sword. Yeah, I think it's a sword that goes through her.
Yeah, from
the... I don't remember.
Is it a vampire that
from
does
the,
it?
Yeah, the vampires come out. They're, she's with...
Robbie, I don't remember.
Not Jonathan, but the other guy, Andrew.
Oh, Andrew.
And Andrew makes it out, and Anya gets clipped.
Well, that's stupid. Andrew should have died.
Well,
Andrew and Jonathan are in jail.
I don't know.
Well,
they went to Mexico.
They went to Mexico.
In the last
episode. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But the actress who plays Anya wanted to die because she didn't want to be available for any reboots or anything. I guess she just wanted to be done.
Oh, yeah?
And I read that, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So she Harrison Ford-ed
it. Yeah, she was like, you just please kill me because I don't want to come back if you do anything else. So, yeah.
Do you agree with that? Like, she should have done that?
I mean, if she was done with the character.
That's what she wanted.
Yeah, if that's what she wanted, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, for the reboot, she could come back, though.
You never know.
I mean, she is a demon. Something could happen to bring her back. Think she...
No, look at it this way. There's an old...
They brought back Spike.
There's an old saying in the comic book world. Nobody stays dead, nobody stays dead except
Uncle Ben.
Except Uncle Ben. Except Uncle in the Buffy universe, I'd say nobody stays dead except Joyce Summers.
That's true.
Agreed. Yeah. Accurate. Yeah.
Agreed.
I can see that.
We should coin that. Coin it before someone else takes it.
That's funny.
It's mine. Nobody touch it.
In the Josh Whedon universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's ours. No one touch it. Mm-hmm. Copyright 2025.
Reclaim it.
All right, Pixie Dusters. Well, thank you so much for joining us for season 6. Robbie, thank you for also joining us this week. And last week, I forgot to thank you. I'm sorry. My mind was everywhere.
Season 2. I have a lot to say about season 2, but I was...
Yeah. Are you going to be here for season 7?
Yeah, I'll probably... Yeah. No. I'll probably
you're not be here, so...
I'll probably be at a show.
Yeah, you'll be in Knoxville.
I'll be in Knoxville.
Well, darn, you're going to miss also season 1 of Angel when we record.
So I will be at Knoxville at Fanboy, but James is going to be there, Julie Benz, and the actress that plays Darla. She's going to be...
That's Julie Benz.
I'm talking about Drusilla.
Oh, Drusilla, Juliet.
Juliet will be there.
Gotcha,
so Juliet. It's
the vampires.
Big Buffy things. I'm going to try to talk to James there. I'm hoping he'll just be like, it's you.
I remember you.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let us know next time we see you.
Yeah, all hopefully right. I can get him on and be like, oh, we can do what we did with
Doug
Jones. I'm still working.
That'd be cool.
I would just be sitting here smiling. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I can speak. I'll just keep myself on mute.
That's funny.
Actually, no. I need to redeem myself for this question you said I would have asked. I would have never asked that.
That's my favorite.
See, I would have asked him, like, how easy was it to, like, change your accent for when you were singing versus when you were talking? Because I notice when he sings, he still kind of keeps his British accent.
Yeah.
I know a lot of American singers tend to do that anyway. Like, they sort of change their inflections a little bit.
Yeah.
And then a lot of English vocalists do the opposite thing. Like, a lot of British vocalists, you'd think they're American until you hear them talk.
Yeah, they sound
so different. I don't know, like, if that was an interesting sort of thing for him.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to put a list of questions together just in case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. All right, well, see you next week for our last season of Buffy season 7, and then after that we'll be going into the spinoff Angel. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Yes. Side of our Angel.
Bye-bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
So long.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.